thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the nutrition that it provides to our soul, Father God. We thank you that you've given it to us, God, to just continue to strengthen us and continue to lead us and guide us and direct our steps, Father. So we ask, Lord, that it would just continue to find fertile soil in our hearts today, God. And we ask, Lord, that we would just be diligent, God, to not just hear it, but to be doers of the word as well, Father God, to put it into practical application in our lives, starting today, Father, in Jesus' name. We all say, amen. Amen. So we've been on a little bit of a journey to kind of give a quick recap of where we've started and where we're at today. We started with a short teaching on the enemy and what he's up to, right? How he works today. Because he's conniving, and he's a liar and a deceiver. And even though he's been around the block many times, he's continued to change his tactic, so to speak, and how he operates so that he can continue to try to dissuade and to lie and deceive us, okay? So that was the first part. Then we learn from that part where we go is where do we walk, right? Remember this? This was just last Sunday. Hopefully you guys didn't lose it all that quick. But we learned about where we're going and why are we going in the direction we're going. Are we just walking around aimlessly, not really doing much, or do we walk with an actual purpose? Because where we're going, there's a reason for why we're going there. And what we're going to talk about today is exactly why there needs to be purpose. Because when there's a purpose in mind, that means there is a destination or a goal. Okay? Because walking around aimlessly and having no destination, that's why you don't walk with purpose. But when you actually have a destination in mind, you're going for a reason. You have a location that you're objectively trying to get to, right? But then we have to get to the bigger question, which is, okay, now I've made it to my destination. What am I supposed to do here? Well, that's what today's about. And today's message is called Produce Fruit. Produce fruit, because that is what you are put in that location to do. Every time, without fail, that is your job, all the time, is to produce fruit. So when we're walking, if we know that we're supposed to produce fruit, and we got a bag of seeds, right, and I want to go someplace to put these seeds to good use, where do I want to go? Do I want to walk to the concrete farm? Going to make really good planting ground there, throw it all in a concrete mixer, see what happens? No? Not a good location? Okay. So everybody was saying fertile land, fertile soil, and that is correct, right? That's where we want to objectively end up. That's where we want to go. So the cool part about this is that God kind of created, he just created it because he's God and he's awesome in every way, but he created the process for us. So we really can't screw it up because it's perfect. You can't mess it up. You just have to do it. Seems pretty simple, right? Sign me up for that job. You can't make a mistake. It's infallible. You just have to follow instructions. So if it messes up, it's not because the process is broken, right? The process isn't broken. So let's find out about this process, shall we? Go ahead, Ken. We're going to be in Genesis. Very first chapter, 12th verse, and we hear this process coming forth in the creation of all things. God created a process, and that process is here. It says, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And process. Pretty straightforward here. Grass has seed. Seed creates same grass. And the green grass grows all around, and the green grass grows all around. Okay? Now, he goes on further to give us another thing that says there's a tree, and it yields fruit. And in that fruit is a seed. And that seed will produce another tree that will then produce the same fruit. So it's a very simple formula. Tree produces fruit that produces seed that produces same tree. Always the same. Okay? I cannot plant a lemon seed in the ground and get an apple tree. It won't happen. no matter what I do. Now, the cool part about this is nature 90% of the time takes care of this on its own. Fruit falls to the ground, decomposes, seeds die, germinate, new trees, more fruit. Voila. Don't have to do much here. But there's a key. And the key was always made in the seed, right? All that power, all that potential for all that multiplication growth lies in one seed. Because if you just plant one seed and you grow that seed and you get a tree, do you get one fruit? No. You get 30, 50, 100 fruit on one tree. And inside each one of those fruit, is there just one seed? No. There's like 15, 20 seeds in each of those fruit. See how multiplication that is? One seed turns into 1,000 seeds in the blink of an eye. God knew what he was doing. Amen? Amen? So, if it's that simple, and it really is just that simple, then there's one factor that's not here. And that is, where is that seed planted? Where did we put that seed? That location is important. Do we agree? Right? Because you could have seed, and I could throw seed right here on the carpet. Guess what's never going to happen? It will never be a fruit tree. It just won't happen because it lacks the necessary ingredients to make that seed germinate and grow, right? So we know there's one more part of the equation, and that other part of the equation is the location. So we're going to find out about that location in Matthew. Go ahead, Ken, the first scripture. Because Jesus does give us a little bit of an example about this location here in Matthew. He talks about the sower sowing seed, and he throws this seed all over the place. And it lands on rocks, and it lands in the thistle, and it lands in the thorn bushes, and it lands on the path. And then some lands on fertile soil. And he gave descriptions about all these different locations where the seed landed. Now, when you have a whole bunch of seed, you just kind of throw it. Yeah, maybe a few here, a few there aren't going to necessarily land where you want it to, right? But he very much made a point about this particular step. And that was how others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So we're seeing that when the seed landed on good ground, the crop was yielding, and the yielding of that crop was multiplicative, right? Okay, very simple. So what does this all come to be then? Because it's not just about obviously going outside and grabbing a bunch of seed and planting it, right? We're not talking about actual crops and fruit. Do we understand this? We haven't missed the train, right? We're all here. So this is not about turning into a farmer and going and getting a bunch of seed at the grocery store and just planting it out back in your yard. That's not what I want everybody here to do. Although if you do, you might get some beneficial ends to it because it does work. It's legitimate. You go and do the same process in an actual garden, you get stuff. I have produce in my backyard. Ken, what does Jesus say about the next step? He explains it in 23. He says, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So we're now getting the explanation a few passages later that this is not about actual seeds and fruit and crops. This is about who? People. This is about people, right? So we're now given a huge different change in look and outlook about what this whole thing was starting, not just when God created the crops and everything in the garden, but God created a pattern that was the same in all living things, including us. And that pattern is that we reproduce like kind. And how does it happen? Well, we got to find that good soil. Is the soil immediately good? Is that what Jesus is explaining us here? Was the soil good when we got here? No. No, what made the soil good? First of all, what makes the soil good is someone who actually receives it. See, you could sit there and throw seed all day long at somebody who's not receiving it. Guess what you're doing? You're wasting seed. So that's first thing. The second thing is that they understand the intent. What is the purpose of it? Why are you giving me this? There's a reason for it, okay? And the most important part is that the soil is deemed good because it produces fruit. See, a lot of times farmers will go and throw seed in what seems to be fertile, good soil, and they will come to find out that the crop doesn't come up and grow. It may look good. It may seem that it's good, but the true tell of whether or not it is good comes in the production of the crop. If it yields crop, that soil is good. There could be a lot of things underneath the soil. There could be grubs. There could be all kinds of things that eat away. Birds could be flocking to that field all the time and just taking your seed away. It may not be the best place. It may not be the best location. So location matters, okay? So what does this all come to mean? Well, when we allow that word, okay, which is what the seed is. The seed is the word, right? When we allow that word to penetrate our hearts, does that mean that we're producing fruit? It is not. So just because you receive that seed into your heart and you go, man, that's a really good word, Pastor. That really hit me. That really hit me right here. Okay, you got convicted. Okay, yeah, you repented. Okay, yeah. But what are you doing with it? Because until you actually start doing something with the word, will you produce fruit? See, the production of the fruit is actually in the actual growing of the plant. You actually have to mature that crop because the fruit doesn't come once the seed hits the ground, right? Is that what happened when God showed you? No, he said, where does the fruit come from? It comes from the tree. This is not hard stuff. I hope it's not like going over our heads because it's not. The fruit comes from the tree. So if you put a seed in the ground and it's not a tree yet, you're not going to get fruit. I planted some stuff. I planted some jalapenos in my backyard. It took about 3 to 4 weeks before I had the plant fully growing and I had little peppers. They were about this big. If you're not sure, jalapeno pepper actually starts as like a flower. It looks like a little blossom. And then it just starts to turn into a pepper, and then it's a little pepper, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and I have jalapenos that are like about that big now. It didn't happen once I put the seed in the ground. It happened over time. It happened because they were watered, and they were cared for, and they were nurtured, and they were treated well. That is part of actually growing a crop. So it's not just, oh, I received a word. It's actually caring for what you received. Do we understand that? Do we care about what we receive from God? Do we care about the words that penetrate our heart enough to want to grow and mature them so that they can actually produce something positive in our life? That's a figurative question. So back to when we started, because this is all kind of a primer. We learned about the enemy, we learned about what he's doing, we learned about what he's up to, and we learned about our walk. All this was relevant because now you should understand that within you, you hold the potential and all that power with the word of God to go ahead and reproduce like kind all around you. That means we have the power to reproduce more of us. Believers, faithful followers of Jesus Christ, by sowing the word of God into other people's lives. Do you think the devil wants you to do that? No. That's why he comes up with schemes and plans and modernizes them to keep you from doing so. He wants you distracted. He doesn't want you to do it. And then he wants you to be confused in your walk so that you don't walk to the places where people are that need to hear what you have. See, that's why it's paramount, because you have it. God designed it. It's fail-proof, and all you have to do is follow the instructions, and everything goes according to God's plan. That's what happens. It's natural. It's multiplicative growth. That's how cool this design was. So now we have to ID now where this all comes to play, because it's not just now about that process, because the process, we just discovered, can't screw that up, right? We can't mess it up. The process is the process. But what can happen is, what are we reproducing? Because it's very simple to go, oh, well, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to study and read the Word of God, and then I'm going to go share what I read to other people, and poof. That's what you just told me, right? That's what it was. That's all we have to do, right? Sort of, but not quite. There's a missing ingredient, and that is, we have to understand what like kind is supposed to look like. Because, see, it's real easy for me to go about and talk a good game. And I'll give you an example. If you are a believer in Christ and you've been saved and covered in the blood of the Lamb and all those great and wonderful things, and you walk out in the name of Christ, but you live a lifestyle that's unbecoming, and you go and you tell people about Jesus and you win them over and they accept the Lord, they're going to examine your life and they're going to go, oh, so this is what it means to be a Christian. So I can still live in squalor. I can still live like a heathen. But as long as I have Jesus, I'm good. How do you think we have a body of Christians, not this body, FYI, but in the world that believe that they can call in the name of Jesus Christ but live contrary to him every day of their life? It didn't happen because everybody was reading the same Bible. No, it happened because the person who was sowing that seed and reproducing like kind wasn't really lining up. And they multiplied bad fruit. Truth. That's what happened. And so now Christians have a stigma of being hypocrites. Christians have a stigma of being all this way. Yeah, we're stigmatized. Why? Because we didn't follow exactly what God was saying. And there is a big description about who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to look when we're doing this multiplicative process, when we're reproducing fruit of like kind. And that's found in Galatians. Ken, can you pull up Galatians, please? Galatians 5th chapter, verses 22 to 25. And remember, most of this study is coming out of Galatians, so if you're curious. But in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And we talked about walking in the Spirit. But here we're being challenged that walking in the Spirit requires you to also be living in the Spirit. So there is a duality in our responsibility. We can't just sit there and walk and go, oh, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking by the Spirit. I'm walking by the Spirit. Yeah, you can do that, but you have to also be living in it as well. You can't just walk. There is a actual practical application, and that practical application is right here. See, I have a favorite cereal, and I'm sad to say that it doesn't exist anymore. My favorite cereal was Clusters. Does anybody remember Clusters? The cereal Clusters that had the squirrel? Yeah. And this cereal was like jam-packed with all kinds of fun, nutty goodness. It was like nuts, almonds, and cashews, and cluster things with honey and flakes. And it was a good cereal. I loved it. It was delicious. The fruit of the Spirit is one fruit. That is not a bunch of fruits. That is one. These are all descriptions of one fruit. If I say I have a fruit and it's yellow and sour and has some seeds in it and it's kind of rubbery textured, what did I describe? I said it has seeds in it, Daniel. I said it had seeds in it. But I'm glad you were trying to pull a fast one. It's a lemon, right? It's a lemon. And you know it because of the descriptions, right? So how are we knowing that we are walking and living in the Spirit? Because we exhibit these traits. It isn't just one. You can't pick and choose. All. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We need to exhibit all of these traits. Because when we reproduce like kind, we should be wanting that in return. That should be the crop we want to yield every single time we plant and sow seed. Because that's the design that God created. That is the fruit he initially created, and that's the fruit he looks for. That's what he's expecting from us. So out of that fruit comes those seeds, and out of those seeds, we sow more fruit. If we aren't producing those things, or we're missing those things, and we sow seed, we're getting a lesser fruit. We're not getting the quality that God actually wants us to sow and duplicate. And where's that error come in? In verse 24, here's where it happens. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Why do you think that's being mentioned here? Why? Because the only thing that's going to stand against you putting on those fruit, or that fruit, not those fruits, but that fruit, and being that fruit, is you not putting to death your flesh and the passions and desires that it has. Because they are going to live in total counter to everything that is listed there. Every single ounce of you wants to go against everything that's on that list. It doesn't want to conform. It doesn't want to be a bearer of joy. It doesn't want to show love. It doesn't like peace. It likes chaos. It doesn't like to suffer long. It wants things now. It's not kind. It's not good. It doesn't need faith. It's not gentle. And it surely doesn't have self-control. Because if it had self-control, it'd be put down. Amen? Verse 25, as we already stated, right? That destination is purposeful, and walking into those destinations requires us to also align our lives in the same spirit. So we're walking and living by that same spirit, and then by walking and doing those things, we're living in the spirit. So living, walking together. Romans 8, verses 12 through 17 gives us a little bit more in here. And it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So here we go. Ready? Walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit. In doing so, you are ultimately doing what? You're putting to death your flesh. So really, this is a really easy lesson. It's simple. You're either one or the other. You can't do both. It's not possible. Because right here, we're being told, you're either going to live according to the flesh, or you're going to live by the Spirit. And if you're living by the Spirit, you're putting death to your flesh. It's an automatic. It's an automatic. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. I love this scripture. There's a key word here, and I want to note it. I love pointing out key words because they're important. But if by the Spirit, who? You put to death the deeds of the body. So just because you live by the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit, you're living for Christ, you're doing these wonderful things, there's a responsibility. You are still responsible. You are still responsible to agree with God and his Spirit that you desire him and his presence more than you and what you want in your life. It has to be, because that sacrifice he's already made. He's made that sacrifice. He's paid for everything. Redemption means to redeem. That means you actually have to take and possess the redemption and know what it is paid for. If you are holding on to something else, you can't have what Jesus provided. Do you understand that? So in order to fully embrace the redemptive power of Christ, you actually have to let go of your life. You have to let go of what your life has attached to it. By living in the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the flesh because you are going to embrace what it means to be redeemed. Is this clicking? I hope so. Now there's the last part of this, and this is probably the coolest part. After all that's said and done, right? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. When we embrace this responsibility, I do. I want to live by the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be that fruit that God has designed me to be because there's more to it than just I am this fruit. I am a distributor of more of the same fruit. No. That's such a small part. See, by doing that, we fall in line with what God designed. What is that called? That's called being obedient. Out of that obedience, I gain something far greater than I could ever ask or imagine. What do I get? I get to be called a son of God Almighty. For ladies, you get to be called a daughter of God Almighty. And then going on to that, not only are you a son or a daughter, but your past is gone because you don't have that anymore because you are adopted into a different kingdom. See, you're not just part of here anymore. You are adopted. In that adoption, you are given all of the things that a son or a daughter would have in total disregard to what you came from before. See, what you were and what you have doesn't matter here. That's why putting to death the flesh is so important in this process, because you can't move forward in the adoption process if you're still attached to your home and your past. You can't take it with you in this process. You have to let go. But what do you get? You're a son, you're a daughter. On top of that, you're now not just the children of God, but you are an heir. You have moved up into a ladder that God welcomes each and every one of us into as long as we're obedient. See, that obedience is paramount. Being obedient to what God has set up here is paramount because in that, we now become heirs and then joint heirs with Christ. So we now have a seat seated right next to God Almighty. And that position comes with power and authority to rule. There's a lot more than just salvation in being a Christian. There's a whole lot more. And so many Christians just settle for salvation. They just settle. But that wasn't what God intended. God intended us to multiply. God intended us because God wants all of his children. He does not want to sit here and go at that last day and separate the sheep from the goats and throw the goats into the lake of fire. He doesn't want to do it. He wants all of his children. That's why he created this grand design, because he wants us to be able to reproduce like kind. And each and every one who reproduces then reproduces some 60, some 30 fold. That multiplication process is the only way that the whole world is going to know the name of Jesus Christ and walk in his name and live in the Spirit. Because if it was just one-to-one ratio, it'd be a long process. It'd be a long process. God knew every single thing he was doing. He is that great of a God. And for him to have known all those things and to create all those things and to create the process and to create the fruit and to give it freely and then to pay the ultimate price so that you could walk it out isn't for us to just sit there and have salvation. Just so that you can take care of you and not worry about anybody else. I look at the teachings through Scripture, especially when Jesus was preaching and giving his teachings. And one of the things he always did is he preached the kingdom, right? He was always preaching the kingdom of God. Do we realize that was prophetic? That was a prophetic word. Every time he spoke it, it was prophetic. Why? When we sit here and we obey the word of God and we do what it tells us to do and we line up with that those descriptions of the fruit of the Spirit and we walk this thing out day by day, we are expanding the kingdom of God. We are exactly doing what Jesus prophesied, that the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is here because we are the kingdom of God. Right? And that expansion, that kingdom expansion, comes through the process of like kind producing like kind. And in each one of those fruits, more seeds. And in each of those seeds, more trees. And in each of those trees, more fruit. So if we understand the full purpose of what our time is here, and what's that? What's the purpose? We're here to do what? What are we here to do? Bear fruit. I heard that. You guys are quiet. I don't understand. I need some. We're here to do what? Bear fruit, okay? Bigger picture. We're here to expand the kingdom of God. We're here to expand his kingdom. There is an ultimate goal, and that goal is that he wants all of his children. That's what the expansion of the kingdom of God is about. So in that case, then, we should understand after this that there's a crucial component, and that component is the Holy Spirit. How am I supposed to know where I'm at? How am I supposed to know how short I fall? How am I supposed to know that I'm lacking joy, or I'm not long-suffering enough, or I don't have enough gentleness or kindness in me, and I need more? How am I supposed to know if I'm disconnected? If I'm so conceited and absorbed in my own life and the things of myself and the concerns of my own life and what's all going on this planet today, how am I going to be able to reproduce fruit that God expects me to reproduce? See, it really boils down to something simple. You're necessary, but it's not about you. You are necessary, but it's not about you. It's about everyone you come in contact with. It's about everybody who needs to know not just who Jesus is, but what he's done for them. How there is great and better things around the corner. It's not just this life. There's so much more to come. And if I'm deficient, I need to know when I'm deficient, I need to know how I'm deficient, and I need to know who to go to supply that need of deficiency and revive that in me. Because I don't want to go and reproduce bad fruit. I don't want that on me. So how do you measure up? Don't answer that. This is the challenge. How do you measure up? When you put that scripture before you and you read in Galatians about that fruit, how do you line up? Are you lacking in any of those areas? Are you missing something? Are you not this? Are you not that? It's okay to be honest with God and say, Lord, I need more of this. I need more of your joy. I need to be better at showing forth love. I need to be better at this. I don't want to be deficient. Because ultimately, I don't want to reproduce fruit that is not lining up with what you're asking it to be. I want to be good fruit so that I reproduce good fruit. I can't speak for everybody here, and I'm not going to. But what I can say is this. God's word is replete. It does not mince words. It does not say things it's not supposed to say. God's very serious about his people. When it comes down to anything you can count on, he's very caring and very concerned when it comes to his creation, his prized possession, what he loves more than anything else, which is us. And right now, that duty, that responsibility, it falls on us. It falls on us. So how about we do something about it? How about we actually look and see, where can I start? Where can I actually start implementing the changes I need to make so that I can put to death my flesh and I can start producing like kind? Again, I can't speak for everybody else, but I can tell you this. This message was difficult for me. It's hard. It's hard sitting there and recognizing that, one, you're deficient, and two, that you need to die in areas that you need to die in. It's not easy. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I'm going to tell you it's hard. But what I'm going to tell you is that it makes a huge difference when you go to the source, when you allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you and tell you those things, because he's not harsh. He's not rough. He's not difficult. He's gentle. He's kind. He's caring. And if we listen to him and we hear his voice and we see the things that he's pointing out in our life that we need to discard, we should respond. And when he tells us that he wants to give us this and he wants to increase us here, we should welcome it. Change is good, guys. Change is good, and change is necessary for us to produce more fruit of the same. And we know what we're supposed to be producing now, so there's no excuses, right? We know what we're seeking. We know what we're looking for. All right. Well, I'm done then. In that case, you guys are good to go. So hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you for your word today, God. We thank you for its provision. We thank you, God, for just showing us through your word, God, where you want us to be, God, where you want us to line up with your word and line up with everything that it's showing us, that, Lord, it is producing life. Your word produces life. It brings forth those things that are deficient and missing in our life, God. And Father, we thank you that you have shown us where you want us to be and what you want us to how you want us to be and what things you're looking for in our lives that we need to remove and discard, God. Holy Spirit, move. Move throughout this place. Move throughout each of our hearts. Show us. Speak to us, reveal to us those areas, those things that you want, those things that you are seeking out, so that we can be diligent to move on them quickly, so that we can be about Father's business, that we can be created to do exactly what you set us out to do, to produce that like kind, to be bearers of good fruit, to find that fertile soil. Lord, we thank you for the process. We thank you that it's infallible, and we thank you that you've perfected out this whole thing through every detail, and that you will be ultimately glorified through all of this and through us. And we owe it all to you, and we owe it all to your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.